Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast right here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
We are back with the beating sound of drums for my Tunes guest this week. None other than Jim Horton is with me in the studio. Jim, welcome to My Tunes.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Now,
nice to be here.
You've been playing on this little island for a while.
Quite a while.
But when did you start playing the drums?
When I was about 14.
Okay.
I had piano lessons first and then found my spiritual home on a drum kit, I suppose.
And did you sort of learn at home, and were your parents very understanding?
They were very understanding.
Who bought that first kit?
I did, actually.
Oh, okay.
From a chap in the village. I lived in Laxey at the time,
yeah.
And I still do. And so I bought my first drum kit, probably, I think it was about the time I left school, maybe. I don't know how I got the money.
Yeah.
Oh, I do know how. I had a paper round, and I also worked at the flour mills in Laxey, so I think that's where the money came
from. So Laxey through and through?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your secondary school?
Douglas.
Oh, okay. And were you playing there?
Yes, I was in Douglas School Band. And I was also in the Manx Youth Band as well at the same time.
Who was your teacher? Did you have a teacher?
Yes, I've had two or three.
Okay.
Eddie McGowan, who was well known on the island at the time. And then later on, Ernie Hicks, who's also well known on the island. Both departed.
And in terms of style, because drummers have to play all sorts of different stuff, especially if you're a jobbing drummer, like you've played with everybody. But where did you start out? What style?
Well, probably with brass bands and sort of... And then I sort of became interested in jazz, really, which is where Dave Brubeck will come in.
Oh, yes. Later this week, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And really, but of course, there are not many openings for jazz drummers on the island, so I sort of drifted into playing all sorts of stuff. I've done cabaret and dance music and all sorts of things over the years.
Now, jazz, I always think if you can play jazz, you can pretty much play anything, because in terms of tempo and the sort of stuff you're going to have to play, whichever instrument you're involved with in jazz, it's a heck of a lot more complicated than most people realise, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot more to it, even from a drummer's point of view. There's more skill involved as well, really. You have to be able to use your sticks properly.
When you say properly, don't just grip them and bash.
Well, there are these two ways of holding your sticks, but again, it's about manipulating your sticks probably, because of course a lot of it is a fairly high speed, so it's a bit more technical.
It's an amazing world, jazz. I think, was it Howard Kane once said to me, he said, the difference between rock and roll and jazz, a rock and roll band plays three chords in front of 3,000 people, and a jazz band plays 3,000 chords in front of about 30 people. And it's a different world, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah. I didn't realise for years and years that Charlie Watts, the late Charlie Watts and the Stones, was really a jazz drummer.
Yes, definitely. I think he obviously was the best player in the Stones, so they lost their best musician.
yeah. But, because from what he plays, because he always... It was what he didn't do.
Yeah.
By keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. I've often talked to drummers about this. Do you think a lot of drummers put too much in?
Yes.
Okay. There's the answer's yes.
And I probably have been guilty of this when I was younger.
Because you want to let rip a bit.
Yeah.
Now, your first choice, the Beatles. Let's talk about Ringo Starr before we get on to the tune. How did you rate him as a drummer?
Fantastic. One of my all-time favourite drummers, and probably the person who inspired me to take up drums in the first place.
I was going to say, was that one of the influences?
I remember him being on the TV when I was about 8, I suppose, and I think, wow.
Yeah. Well, let's have this first track. Could be anything, but we talked a bit before we went on to recording this about the early days of the Beatles, so it's going to be an early track. What are we going to have?
Paperback Writer.
Paperback Writer. Clinging wife doesn't understand. His son is working for the Daily
All this week, my guest is the wonderful drummer Jim Horton, who started out as a young lad, Laxey, still lives down Laxey way, and still very much playing the drums. Jim, which would you say was your first proper band, if you know what I mean? The one that you felt you'd really got going with?
Well, after playing in the Manx Youth Band, I joined a band called Bootlegged in Port Erin. I was by far the youngest player, and I was really only there to fill in, but I learned a lot and I enjoyed it. It's probably the first band that anybody, well, certainly some people of my age in the South will have heard of them or may remember them.
Yeah, and what did you play? Do you remember some of the set?
Yes, Albatross was one of the things I remember them playing. Rory Gallagher, Laundromat. And
so it was a real mix.
It was a real mix. They were a good band.
Yeah. I first met Jim at a blues festival. I've not been around long when the blues festival was very much part of the Laxey calendar.
Yes.
And you were a huge part of that for years and years.
Yes. John Barker and I did quite a lot in part of the organisation of it, particularly at the Queen's Hotel. And yes, we were involved for quite a few years until the police sort of decided they wanted to crack down on it all. And because of antisocial behaviour, I suppose.
Yeah, it was a combination of things. But in its heyday, it was a massive fixture on Laxey's calendar, wasn't it?
It was.
And a huge load of people up the glen.
Yes, yeah.
Indoors and outdoors.
Indoors and outdoors. There was even a tent for a couple of years on the railway station. So it grew and grew and grew.
Yeah. And when it moved to Douglas, I guess it had to because of the, as you say, things weren't going to happen in Laxey, but it changed dramatically.
It did. It lost its essence, I think, really. It just became another jazz festival rather than a local jazz festival in Laxey.
And it's hard to have a big wheel blues festival without the big wheel as a backdrop.
Exactly.
Which is what you had. So let's go on to some more recent playing. I mean, you're still in a variety of bands, aren't you?
Yes.
So, name a few of the current ventures, Jim.
Well, one of the current ventures, or the most recent, is the Arthur Cayley Band.
Oh, aye.
So, and we're playing Cayley music, so yeah. we thought we'd name it after Arthur Cayley, the Sulby Giant. So,
yeah.
That's what we've been doing most recently.
Wild, I would suggest.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally wild. And other outings?
Yes, I'm still involved with the jazz club with Jerry Carter.
Yep.
And I've also been doing a bit of rehearsal with a couple of local GPs as well, Susanna and Helen and Alan Pressford.
Oh, nice. So, well, we look forward to hearing some of that before too long. We will now go to jazz because you've chosen a bit of Dave Brubeck, and there's a story with this.
Yes, I went to an audition at the Falcon Cliff to play in their cabaret lounge one Saturday afternoon, it might have been. There were a few other people there, and I went in. There was a drum kit there. I sat down, and they said, "Can you do take five?" And I said, "Yeah." Count it in. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. In we went, and that was it. And they got the job.
Nice work. Should we play it?
Yes.
This week on My Tunes, I have a drummer with me, a drummer who had the wonderful, wonderful success in playing Take Five, Dave Brubeck, as an audition piece. And because you could count it in properly, you got the job before you even played a note.
More or less.
Now, looking around the world of drummers, and there's so many great names out there. You started off, as you say, inspired by Ringo Starr. And then as you were developing, who else was in your world of influence?
Well, Elton John's drummer I listened to a lot at one time as well. Nigel Olsen, his name is, and I gather he's still playing off and on with Elton. I think he's another more is less man.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, less is more man.
yeah, fair dues.
And for that reason, from a drummer's point of view, he's definitely worth studying.
Did you play anything else as a kid?
I had the piano lessons, and I also tried the cornet, which is a brass instrument in Laxey Brass Band.
So what happened with the piano?
Well, I was too young, I suppose, really. Yeah. I wish I'd carried on with it, because I probably would be a better musician now than I am.
It's one of those things, isn't it? No one ever sits in that chair when we're talking about music and said, oh, I'm so glad I gave up playing this, or I'm so glad I didn't practice. Nobody ever says that.
No.
The opposite.
The opposite.
Every single time.
Every single instrument takes a lot of work, really, to get proficient at. I've more recently taken up the guitar. And because I'm very right-handed, I found moving my left hand with the accuracy of the chords and things like that really difficult. The rest of it was fairly straightforward, but it was just getting these fingers to move.
Maybe you need to get a bit of Nashville training and do the finger picking and get the right hand moving more than the left hand.
Yes, yeah.
That would work.
It would work.
We'll sort it out. Mm. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a lot more about the Isle of Man and about the music scene here. But for now, I want you to go back and tell me your memories of Rocket Man, Elton John.
I think it was about 1971 or two, perhaps, was it? And it was the first song I heard from Elton John. I thought, wow, you know, this is fantastic. And, of course, went on to an illustrious career after that. Mm. We went to see him at the Nobles Park in the tent there as well. And also I enjoyed his recent film with Taron Egerton, which is all about his life and about his struggle with alcoholism and stuff like that. It's a great film.
Yeah, it was. It was that Taron did an amazing job
it
as well.
Fantastic.
And I think Elton thoroughly bought into that. Let's have this then. Early Elton John, Rocket Man.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a time. Timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out as you the heaven on.
fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand is just my job 5 days.
Today in My Tunes, I want to talk about the music scene on the Isle of Man, because my guest, Jim Horton, drummer, has been around a few years, just a few. We're not going to go into that, but a few years. And you've seen it change dramatically, Jim, over the course of your drumming career.
Yes.
So far. I mean, presumably, you saw it absolutely at the max in the 60s, 70s.
Yes. We used to have a lot of visitors here, as we called them in those days. And Douglas was absolutely thronged with tourists, and there was plenty of musical work around for local musicians, and it started around about the last week in May and finished about the middle of September. So we used to do seasons that were about 15 weeks long.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So literally every bar, all the big venues, big and small, needed live music.
They did.
So did you have a residency, as we'd say?
Several over the years, yeah. They were very easy, because, of course, you're not moving the drum kit around, are you?
Lovely. Yeah, lovely. So where were they? Your Malcolm Falcons?
The Falcon Cliff I played at for a couple of years. I think I played at the Douglas Bay Hotel, the Ocean Castle in Port Erin, the Doric Hotel. Yeah. I played with David Whitfield, of all people.
David Whitfield?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and also, of course, you had visiting bands, and I guess sometimes you might help out supporting them.
Yes, we did, yes. I did do deputisations for various people as well when their drummer was ill or called away for their wife to have babies and things like that. So. Yeah.
And where are we now, do you think, with the music scene? Is it still thriving as far as you see?
It's a very different scene, but it is absolutely thriving. I think there are more bands on the island now than there ever were.
Gosh, that's quite something, considering that the season isn't here anymore, so to speak. I mean, yeah. TT, yes, but the rest of it. So you reckon there are more?
Definitely. I think, I couldn't count them. There are probably hundreds of bands on the island, I would think.
And the talent is there.
The talent is definitely here.
I must admit, when I hear, if I'm not in the club or the pub, but I hear a band walking along, I often think, that's good. Mm. There's a lot of good young talent out there.
Yes.
Definitely.
I think YouTube helps a lot these days. You know, you can watch and hear it being done and work it out in your bedroom.
Yes, true enough, because you don't have to just keep putting the needle back on the record, listen to that phrase again, then the blooming record scratch and you can't get that bit. I know. You've chosen for today a cheeky little number. A cheeky little number. Talk me into this, Jim.
Diana Krall, a fabulous musician, singer, songwriter. And this is called Frim Fram Sauce, a saucy little number.
So we shouldn't read anything into this at all. No. But for the sake of the senses hovering outside.
Well, one of the senses is the taste bud sense, really, because it is all about eating.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, before we play it, can I just say, great week, but we're not done yet. There's a bonus track and more where this came from on the podcast, and that podcast will be going live on your whatever contraption you like, manxradio.com as well, of course, at 12:05. But for now, Jim, thank you. We'll get a bit saucy with your friend Diana.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the fram fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. I don't want pork chops and bacon that won't awaken my appetite inside. I want the fram fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Well, you know a girl, she really got to eat, and a girl, she should eat right. 5 will get you 10. I'm gonna feed myself right tonight. I don't want fish cakes and rye bread. You heard what I said, waiter, please. I want my fried, I want the frim fram sauce with the Austin Faye, with shafafa all on the side. Shoot, do, 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 yeah, do, do. Shabba, do, ya, do, say, ya, didn't do. Bacon that won't awaken my appetite.
inside. I want the friend songs with the Aus and Faye. Wish a bumper on the side. Now you know, girls, we really got to eat. And you know we should eat right. Fire will get you ten. I'm gonna feed myself right tonight. I don't want fish cakes and rye bread. You heard what I said. Waiter, please. I want my mind fried. I want the frim-fram sauce with the Aus and Faye, with Chef Papa on the side.
Frim Fram Sauce. No idea what she's talking about there, Jim, but lovely. Thank you. Again, what an artist.
Fantastic. And I think she's married to Elvis Costello as well. And I've got a feeling that Elvis's father may have played in Joe Loss's band. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've got a feeling he did.
So. I've only know one little thing about Elvis's dad. I think he was the man who was in the secret lemonade drinker advert for R. White's.
Was he?
I'm a secret lemonade drinker. I think that right. was Elvis's dad. Now, I might be wrong. We both might. Doesn't matter. We're going to talk a bit now in this here podcast, because we've done the week, about Fleetwood Mac. Now, for me, I don't quite understand how this blues band, British blues band, became an international global sensation, changed direction, changed members, but the essence of the band still ran true, or yes. indeed runs true.
Runs true.
It's a fascinating thing when you think you go back to the beginnings of Fleetwood yes. Mac, Peter Green and everything.
Yes.
Very much a blues band, weren't they?
Very blues band. Peter Green was an all-out blues player, really, and it was a shame that he gave it all up. I think he had some health problems or something like that, and it was a very long time before he started playing again. And then he left, the Fleet and the Mac bit, sort of doing nothing, really. So they had the gumption to go to America and find some new musicians and go off in a completely different direction.
It was a remarkable survival story. And when they had the sort of classic lineup with Christine McVie and Stevie Nicks, God rest her soul, Christine's no longer with us. But the balance of those voices and the songwriting, it just somehow, it wasn't as if they were anywhere near alike, but the balance of those two was incredible.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
A completely new sound as well, I think, at the time.
Yeah. Well, harmonies. It's not for nothing. The Rumours album was one of the biggest albums ever.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing it for the first time. And I don't know about you, when you first heard it, it wasn't a duff track on it.
No.
It just went on. It was like another Sergeant Pepper's. Everything was brilliant. You know, yes. Just carried on going.
It's one of those albums that has endured, really. And it becomes a classic album then in that case, I think.
Are you, because I know I am, I've got my tickets, are you going to go and see the Rumours of Fleetwood Mac when they come to town?
No, I haven't even heard about it, so I will look into this.
Well, I don't work for them, but for me, they're the best Fleetwood Mac cover band anywhere in the world. They tour the world, and when you sit down or stand up and they come on in the villa, they've been here many years, many times, the first person you see is Mick Fleetwood. Who's on a video and says, I'm sorry, we can't be here tonight, but these guys are the next best thing. And please enjoy them. They're wonderful. So they're endorsed by Mick Fleetwood.
Right, well,
so Rumours of Fleetwood Mac, I put it out there. And they cover all the genres as well, because they've got the two girl singers who cover the basses, and they go right back to some of the bluesy stuff as well. So I'll see you there, yeah? Come on.
Yes, I'll be there.
Oh, they might be sold out, I hope not. Yeah. Right. So,
and endorsed by another drummer.
Exactly. So, we're going to have a bit of Fleetwood Mac, Jim. What are we going to have?
Oh, well.
Okay. Well, it's part one and part two. Should we play them both?
Why not?
back to back. Let's have the whole thing. Jim, it's been a lovely week, and thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And here's to the next projects, whatever they are, whether you're doing Dancing Around Like a Wild Thing, whatever's happening.
Yeah,
cheers.
Help about the shape I'm in. I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to. Now when I talked to God, I knew he'd understand. He said, stick by me and I'll be your guiding hand. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
an absolute blues classic. Early Fleetwood Mac, Oh Well, Part 1 and Part 2. Thank you for dropping by for the My Tunes podcast with me, Mark Tiley, and my wonderful guest, drummer Jim Horton. And be sure to keep swinging by here again for more podcasts from Manx Radio's team. They're coming up every day. And join me when you can. You might enjoy some of it, honestly, for the morning show, 9:30 to 12, Monday to Friday on Manx Radio.